Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
When Jesus was here on this earth with us, I mean, maybe not me and you, but with us as humanity, that he came and became man, fully God, but also man, so that he could take part in everything that we have to take part in, that he could be a part of our suffering and our pain and our sickness, and that he could be in that place so that he could take that to the cross with himself. And he was here and on this earth, and you know what's amazing is that he raised people from the dead. There were four people that he raised from the dead. He raised Lazarus. He raised the daughter of the Jairus of Jairus. He raised the widow's son. But there's something so different about the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. And what's different is that he is the one that raised himself from the dead. I don't know if you like think about that for a minute and it's like, how does that? Because he's God. And yes, the Bible said that God raised him from the dead, but also in the Bible it says that he himself has the power over sin and death. And in John 2:19, you had these religious leaders coming after him and seeking after a sign and like, hey, give us something. You say you're this guy. Just, you know, give us some miraculous sign. And in verse 19, he said, all right, destroy this temple and in 3 days, I will raise it up. And like, how, you know, it took years to build this temple. It took so long. How could you just do that in 3 days? And he wasn't talking about the building that they were talking about. Because in verse 21, John 2:21, it says, but when Jesus said this temple, he meant his own body. He says, you destroy this body, this temple, one right here. You can do whatever you want to it, but in 3 days, he himself will raise it up. See, that's the difference. Yes, people have been raised from the dead before. It's a miraculous thing, and it's so amazing, but there's something so different about what we're celebrating today and the fact that Jesus went to the cross for us, died on the cross, but then 3 days later was raised from the dead. There's something so different because only he had that power in and of himself to come back to life, to defeat sin and death. In 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 54, it says, then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Speaking of the Old Testament, this prophetic word about what Christ was going to do. Way back in the Old Testament, it says this. This scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death. And the law gives sin its power. But thank God. He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, death wasn't swallowed up in victory when Lazarus was raised from the dead. It wasn't swallowed up in victory even when the widow's son or Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. It wasn't swallowed up in victory, but when Jesus was raised from the dead, death and sin was swallowed up, consumed by the victory, by the power of Christ and Him being raised from death. He is the one that our victory is through. He's the one. Not in any other name, not in any other belief or thing that we can do. There is only one name, only one way. And it's His name. He's the one that swallowed up sin and death. In Acts 4, you have this moment where Peter and John were walking up to the temple and they passed by this man who was lame, and he's like, "Hey, can you help a brother out? You know, can you help a guy out? Just give me a little money. You got change, anything in your pocket you can give me." And this is in chapter 3, right before this, and they're walking by and they're like, "Look, hey, we don't have silver and gold. We don't have any money that we can give you, but what we do have, see, what we have," they said, "is something so much more important, so much more powerful, so much more valuable than any silver and gold. What we have is the name of Jesus Christ." See, think about that. See, and this is what they were able to speak and to say because of who Christ was and what He's done for us, that they can say, "Listen, all this stuff that you may seek after, no matter what it is, it holds no candle, it has no value compared to the name, because there's no one else. There's no other name. There's no other power. There's no other truth. There's only one name that can raise from the dead. There's only one name that can raise you up off your mat and cause you to walk and have strength right now." And they said, "And that's what we're going to do, is we're going to speak that name to you. Just get up and walk." I love that. He just said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Just get up. Speak His name and get up." In verse 7, Acts 4, 7. At this point, they had been taken in and to be questioned, to, you know, really on trial with the religious leaders. And they brought them in, and they're at this point wanting to, you know, convict them of this evil that they're doing. And in verse 7 it says, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" See, they wanted them to incriminate themselves, right? They're just like, "Tell us. Well, what's the name that you say you're doing this with? Why don't you just tell us and incriminate yourselves right now?" But what they didn't realize is that by the power of the Spirit within them, that Peter and John, what they were going to do is turn the tables and basically tell them stuff that was incriminating the religious leaders. They said, "Look, you may think we're on trial here, but really you're the ones that are on trial." And in verse 10, it's like, "By what name have you done this?" Says, "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him, this man stands here before you whole." So you know the one that you crucified? The one you put on trial, the one you condemned to death, the one that you rejected, that one. He's like, "I know you're having a little bit of trouble saying His name or believing in His name, but there's no other name So I'll say it for you. And I'll remind you of what you have just done. You know that guy that you crucified? You thought you did this good thing, but you do remember that God raised him from the dead. His name is the name that we used. He says it was Jesus. This Jesus, the one you sentenced to death, the one that rose again, his name, because he rose and he's alive, because his power is beyond any power you could possibly imagine, that guy, that one, that God, he's the one. In verse 11, Acts 4:11, it says, he goes on and uses a picture, a little picture story of a building. And he says, this stone in verse 11, the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. And in this, if you imagine, like he's trying to give them a picture. He says, you know, if we think of the kingdom of God and who he is as a building, as a temple, and you guys are the builders, the guys trying, you know, the best you can to place block after block, you know, and this is what the church is supposed to be like. This is what you religious leaders think you are, is what he's saying. So then you builders, you guys, take this stone, this one, this Jesus, and you look at it, you measure it, you look to see how smooth or how, you know, pure it is, and somehow you rejected this stone, this Jesus. But you know what happened? Was God did not reject this stone. He picked this stone back up out of the grave, raised him back to life. He says, but God, what he did with this stone that you rejected, Jesus, there's no other name. He's like, let me tell you again. But God, he placed him as the chief cornerstone. Say, you don't understand. You rejected this stone. You rejected Christ. But he is the one that God put the chief cornerstone, the stone that the whole building is built on, the one that sets everything in place. Everything is built off of that chief cornerstone. You imagine, like, in this, you know, these religious leaders thinking, like, man, you know, we're going to get these guys. And now he's just railing them. Just, hey, you may think that we're going to incriminate ourselves, but I'll tell you that it was Jesus Christ, his name, because there isn't any other name by which this can happen. And let me tell you even more, that you guys rejected him. You crucified him, and he was raised from the dead. You thought you did something good, but you were just doing God's plan to bring him to the place that he needed to be. In verse 12, Acts 4:12, he goes on, he says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's like, look, you rejected him, but he's been placed as a chief cornerstone. You killed him, and God raised him from the dead. There's no other name. No other one. No other one. And he comes now to say, there is salvation in no other name. There's no other name under heaven. Not just, you know, like, hey, is this, you know, a Jewish thing, you know, for the Jewish people? No. Is there somebody else, somewhere else in the world? No. Is there some other thing that we could call on to be saved or to be raised? No. It says there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. He is the one. We are redeemed and saved and justified and brought into relationship with God by no other name. He's the one. I don't know if you see yet throughout today that there's a theme going on here. But it's the theme, supposed to be the theme of our lives. It's supposed to be the thing that draws each and every one of us closer to Him each and every day. And the theme, that thing is that there is no other name. There's no other name that there is healing in. There's no one else that there is forgiveness in. There's no one else that swallowed up death with the victory and the power of who they are. But no, there was only one name. And Jesus Christ, He's the one. He's the one. See, this is what Peter and John are saying. They're like, you're trying to call us out, but really, I'm glad you called us here because we need to tell you. We need to tell you that He's the one. He's the one you're looking for. You've been looking for years and years. You've been searching far and wide and have these prophecies, have these things. You know, He's talking to them, but I'm talking to you and me. That we can search so far and wide. We can, you know, live our lives trying to be the one ourselves. We can live our lives trying to do all these things ourselves. But He's the one. He's the one that fills the void that we try to fill every day when we're doing it on our own, that never actually gets filled, but continually is empty because there's no one else that fills that void. He's the one. He's the one you're looking for. He's the one that redeems and justifies us. In Romans, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Not just somebody, not just this one guy or girl over there, or over here, or in that place. No, everyone who calls on the name. See, this name is a powerful name because there's no other name like it. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. And John says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And it said that in the scripture we read earlier, is through Christ. See, that's what we have to understand, is it's through this work of the cross, through Him, He is the one that has bridged the gap for us that could not be bridged on our own, that we could do nothing to be justified or redeemed or holy in ourselves. But he did that for us when he came and took our sin and our shame and our debt to the cross for us. The things that you and I should have had to deal with ourselves, that, you know, like what we've done against God. But Christ came and he said, no, I will take that for you. See, I'm going to take sin and death and I'm going to carry that. I'm going to put that on my shoulders so you don't have to put it on your shoulders. You don't have to carry that anymore. I'm going to put it on my shoulders. I'm going to take that to the cross. And what's going to happen when I go to the cross is that the enemy might think that he's winning at that point, but I'm going to take all that mess. I'm going to take all those things that death is in sin and shame and all those things. I'm going to take all those to the cross. And what I'm going to do is when I raise back to life, there's going to be victory over that. That sin, shame, death is defeated. That if you call on my name, right? That if you call on him, his name, that you can be saved, that you can be redeemed, that you can be restored, that we can be brought back in a relationship with him, the team could come. See, we may chase after these things and eventually we all find out that we can't find that thing we're looking for on our own. We can't fulfill that void. We can't find that happiness in all these things that maybe the world can provide or are doing so good or are working real hard. That's not found in what we can do or what the world can give. It's only found in the name of Jesus. He's the one. He's the one that did that. He's the one that was raised from the dead and has victory over sin and death. Will you stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.